My fur so fantastic, better not catch you lacking. Back to back like traffic, got that jumper patent in my starter jacket, in my wrist like voila.
Hello and welcome to the Flock Pod. We are at hashtag 160 here at beautiful Chopper Base. The Avatarier producers are sleeping away out there on the couch, nice and peaceful like, so hopefully we don't get any interruptions from them during this podcast. If you'd be so kind, please go find us on all of your major podcast streaming platforms at The Flock Pod. Make sure you give us the 5-star ratings. Make sure you are subscribed so you're getting that fresh flockness in your feed every single week. Double time in your feed with us doing 2 episodes a week right now. So please make sure you are subscribed. And if you leave a 5-star review, we may even read it here on the podcast. If you'd be even kinder, please go find us on all of your major social media platforms at The Flock Pod, on the Twitter, on the Instagram, on the Bookface. You can find me at Coach Justin D on those same social media platforms. Jesse, tell them where you are.
Sir, you can find me at The Graph Man, DAGRAFFMAN, at all your socials that you desire.
Every single one of them. All right, Jesse, we got a big time podcast today. We're going to wrap up the Cal game. We're going to preview USC. We're going to dabble in hoops, just a dabble into the hoops scene this week. We promise you guys we're going to have a major hoops episode next week. I'm going to make some phone calls and see if we might even be able to pull in a third guest for that one. But we're going to have a major hoops preview for you guys next week. So be on the lookout for that. Jesse, let's jump right into it here, man. Let's just wrap up this Cal game real quick. 63-19. Just an absolute ass whooping. Weird game, you know, obviously with the first quarter being just absolutely, you know, I made the joke on Twitter that first quarter forgot to take its ADHD meds because it was just all over the place.
Sounds like looking, me.
Yeah, right? That's actually me today. I have not taken my Adderall yet. So here we go. This could be an interesting podcast. But it was just crazy. It was an absolutely crazy first quarter. Bonkers. Great to see the Ducks kind of buckle down, get their heads back in it, and stay in the game and really finish against an inferior opponent like Cal.
100%. I mean, that's what you want to see when you get those weird quarters, which are bound to happen. If you want to see your team recover, you want to see the better team take a deep breath and say, hey, you know what? That's okay. That'll happen. Yep. And get their mind right. And then just, you know, boat race them the rest of the way.
You know, one interesting point of discourse that came out of that game that we haven't talked about yet, that I'm amazed that I haven't brought this up yet, but you know, you haven't been on the podcast long, Jesse, but my affinity for my abducted son, Ty Thompson, knows absolutely no bounds. So to see Duck Twitter come back around to him here these last few weeks, in particular after his performance in this Cal game late, it just warms my heart. It just makes me oh so very happy to see Duck Twitter coming back around. I've never left. I've been here on Ty Thompson Island the whole time, been drinking rum, hanging out. You know, I'm not trying to escape. I am very content on this island, but I'm just happy to have some friends now on the island. So as we look towards next year, just with a peek, do you see Ty Thompson as this year as this team's starting quarterback?
As of right now, you have to assume that's what's going to happen.
Yep.
Well phrased, sir.
Well phrased. I like what you did there.
You like that little, you like that sort of answer?
Yes. But it's the right answer.
You can always bring in a graduate transfer. And the thing is, we just don't know if that's going to happen because so often it's something that happens, you know, that starts to develop in the spring or something along those lines, just way after the season's over. But for right now, that you got to think the future looks a little brighter with that kind of performance at a tie.
Absolutely. And I think, I mean, your answer is the only answer right now because, Austin Novosad, I don't think is the answer, you know, above Ty Thompson. I would be absolutely shocked if Oregon did not bring in one, if not two, transfer quarterbacks to put a little fire under Ty Thompson, and if nothing else, just have a really competent backup. But they're gonna bring in competition. This is what this coaching staff has done at every single position. They brought in their guys. We have to remember Ty Thompson was a Mario Cristobal recruit. This is a kid that came in from Gilbert, Arizona, out of Mesquite High School, 5-star quarterback, all the pop and circumstance you could ever want about a recruit. And the kid just has not performed and had the opportunity yet to really show what he can do. So I think great showing here in this Cal game and some garbage time. Great to see him out there on the field. I'm excited. Duck Twitter seems to be excited. So we'll see what ends up happening next season. All right. Any other thoughts on this Cal game before we look to jump ahead?
Really, my only other thought was, again, watching back some of the replays was I've really, really wanted to hit again on how big the defense came up over and over again. And that's, I love to see that. I love to see it not come down to only the offensive side of the ball bailing out the defense. There was a real rugged defensive performance last week, and that's what I like.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're going to need more of that coming in this week with USC coming into Autzen Stadium, 7:30 kickoff. We did it, ladies and gentlemen. We got a night game. I'm excited. I'm going to be at this game. I'm going to be there in person. So very, very excited. Going to take the night off and just enjoy some Duck football. But USC comes in 7-3, currently unranked in the CFP rankings, 5-2 in conference. You know, one interesting thing that people aren't talking about is they are still alive for that conference championship game. So they still have a lot to play for. Caleb Williams had a great interview this morning. I don't know if you saw it on Twitter, but just kind of talking about his, you know, very emotional reaction. And how, you know, he was already kind of feeling the emotions. He wants to win. And then when he went over there and he got that mother's touch, he called it, you know, he just kind of broke down. That's when he ended up losing it and became very emotional. So I'm not a fan of Caleb Williams per se. Obviously, he plays for the USC Trojans, but I respect that kind of an answer. He seems like a very mature young man. He's been in the spotlight now for a couple years. So he is not going to be fazed by a absolutely raucous Autzen Stadium on Saturday night. Curious to see just kind of the peak form that the student section is going to be in, you know, fans having, you know, all day to sit out there and tailgate. It should be a great environment. So let's jump right into this preview, Jesse. As we look at the O versus the D, the Oregon offense versus the USC defense, USC did fire their defensive coordinator last week, Alex Grinch, out. New DCs in this week, Sean Nua and Brian Odom. They're holding their cards very close to the vest, but saying that there are going to be some tweaks and some changes made to this USC defense. So as you look towards this specific matchup, Jesse, what are some things that really stand out to you?
Well, they can hold their cards as close to their vest as they want, but that defense still isn't going to be very good. I'll tell you that. Especially against the run, they're in the trip. I don't remember the number. I think
115th.
There you go. I was going to say they're in triple digit rankings against the run in the country, which is just, I mean, of course, coming into this game. So speaking for myself, and I think so many of us, we'd love to see the pitcher's duel, as it were, between Bo Nix and Caleb Williams. But my God, when you go up against a team that ranks 115th in the country against the run, and you have, you know, Jordan and Bucky chomping at the bit, turn them loose. My word.
Yep. Couldn't agree more.
So good luck keeping up. That would be my strategy coming into this game.
Well, and bringing up that point, I mean, Bucky and Jordan are going to eat. There's no doubts about that. I think they're going to get their money's worth for sure. My worry is watching USC play. They do have a tendency to get those explosive plays on defense. They do get some TFLs. They do get out of position sometimes to do that. So I think those type of plays is, can Oregon capitalize on USC's over aggression, and who wins those moments? Right, when a USC linebacker jumps out of position to try to make a play on Bucky, does he actually make that play and get the TFL, or does Bucky, you know, break that tackle, or does he just get lost in space and then he's off for 20-30 yards? So I think those are going to be the plays that really make a big difference. And right along with that, I have a gut feeling that Terrence Ferguson and the other Duck tight ends, Patrick Herbert and the like, are going to play a major role in this game. I think USC's linebackers are not good. I think one of them even went on Twitter this week saying that he's not watching film. So good for you, sir. Good luck with that.
Let me know how that works out for
you. Yeah, seriously, bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see how it plays out for him. I have a feeling that Terrence Ferguson's going to have, if it maybe just the, I mean, he's had a couple big catches, you know, moments mm-hmm. in these last few weeks, but I think this could be a T-Ferg game. I think he could have 6, 7, 8 catches, 70, 80 yards and a touchdown or two, and really be a major X factor just to exploit the USC linebackers and make them play in space. I think that's one thing that if we can make them play in space and make them make some decisions, I think this Oregon offense is going to be incredibly successful.
Yeah. I mean, last week was Tez Johnson Day at Autzen Stadium.
Exactly. This
week, it might as well be Ferguson Day.
Love it. Absolutely love it. And we bring up the point, I mean, this is a game where Oregon can play bully ball. This is definitely where the running game is going to be a major factor, but also just the offensive line creating that momentum for the rest of the team and just playing downhill. You saw it in the Washington game. You've seen it in a lot of USC games this year. They're constantly playing uphill on that defensive line. They're constantly being pushed backwards and they're not allowed to really get off the ball. So I think if Oregon's offensive line can go out there and eat, do what they need to do, this is going to be a game that Oregon can boat race this USC defense.
Absolutely. It's not prediction time yet, but I am not looking for one of these 50 to 49 games. I'm looking for the offense to demoralize those guys and the defense to do their part. That's what I'm looking for.
And I think, I mean, again, not prediction time yet, but I think that is, especially with this specific matchup, I don't think USC can hold Oregon's water. I don't care whose defensive coordinator you put out there. This is going to be a team. I mean, the one thing I guess that does worry me is this is a USC team that is now literally a wounded animal. They are a cat that is in the corner. You've got the cat carrier in your hands and you're just terrified because you know you got to get that cat in the carrier somehow, some way, but it's going to fight like hell to go in there. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what type of energy this USC team comes out with. And in that first quarter, if Oregon can break their spirit and then break their backs the rest of the game.
Yep, because you've got a team that had, you know, national title aspirations coming into the season that it just didn't work out that way. The defense is not very good and hasn't been able to keep up with a very good offense, to be fair. But yeah, with that matchup, I don't think USC can keep up, quite frankly.
Nope, I agree. 100% agree. All right, let's jump over to the other side of the ball now. USC offense versus this University of Oregon defense. I tweeted out earlier, I think the most important player on the field is going to be Evan Williams. He's played really, really well the last couple weeks, but in that safety position, he's going to be, you know, he's not the communicator on that defense from what I can tell, but he's still going to be.
Seem like it.
Yeah, he's still going to be the stopgap. He's going to be the guy that's going to shut down some of those big plays from the USC offense. Because I think, again, this is a game where we're not going to hold USC scoreless. USC has a very good offense. They have the best quarterback in the country, a transcendent quarterback prospect if you talk to NFL draft scouts. And Caleb Williams was going to put on some magic. But how Oregon contains that magic and is able to pressure Caleb, I think, is going to be the difference in this game.
Yeah, I mean, you've got the quarterback, you've got the next coming at quarterback, you know, in recent
spin memory. Movie put in the Washington game. That was
oh
so
my
filthy.
Lord, that was ridiculous. I mean, if memory serves, it was kind of like there was Andrew Luck and then there was Trevor Lawrence. And now it's Caleb Williams in terms of the hype train of just, yep, this is the next one.
Yeah, this is the guy.
And I may have forgotten someone in there, but that's for me in terms of just the amount of hype and all of that altogether. I think it's those three that are on the level. I mean, you know, you heard a lot about Tua and stuff, but not in the same breath as
Tua wasn't can't miss. I mean, these are three guys that have been proclaimed can't miss that are teams are tanking for these players.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the type of publicity that these guys are getting. So
you'll never get anything as good as Suck for Luck, though. I mean,
no,
that was
you
just
won't.
So easy.
Yeah, it was perfect. Absolutely perfect. So I'm curious, what do you think? Because Oregon's been playing a lot of man-to-man defense these last couple weeks. I don't recall. Yeah. They did play more zone against Washington, I believe, if my memory serves me correctly. So I'm curious to see if we get more of that mix of a game plan with the man and the zone to try to confuse Caleb, or if,
yeah,
or if Tosh just says, hey, you know what? We're going to match up man to man. We're going to bring selective pressure. So I'm curious, what are your thoughts on that? Do you see more man, or do you see more zone from this Oregon defense?
Yeah, don't break the wheel when it's been working.
Yeah, it's tough not to. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, the question, of course, then becomes, you know, they played a little more zone against Washington, but is that what got them burned in those key moments when you know, Evan Williams didn't, you know, shade over and stop that deep throw in time because he was too busy playing center field? You know, will they mix up the zone? I think probably what I would imagine is that if they do run a zone, it's going to be kind of a more of a masked scenario where they try and disguise it as man, so they don't see it coming. I don't think we're going to get a heavy split, but I feel like just because it caused them to struggle a little bit at Washington against the other really, you know, NFL caliber QB that people are talking about. I would be surprised if we saw too terribly much more than we have.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think zone is a good way to stop a running quarterback, you know, because you've got all 11 eyes, you know, facing forward that way. But USC does have some dogs at wide receiver. I mean, Taj Washington's really good. Brendan Rice was a guy I wanted to see in an Oregon uniform really, really bad. He's really talented. Mario Williams, Lake McCray. I mean, they've got guys that can really make some plays on that USC defense. That's going to be an inch. Something I'm going to be really watching. Something I'm going to really be paying attention to is how much man, how much zone Oregon's playing. And again, I feel like a broken wheel, or I just feel like I'm saying the same thing over and over and over again, you know, every week. But Oregon has to make USC one dimensional. I mean, Austin Jones has been successful running the ball. He went for 11 carries for 127 yards. Yes, folks, that's an 11 and a half carry right there, or yards average yards, per carry.
Yep.
And will Marshawn Lloyd play? You know, he was held out of that Washington game for an undisclosed injury. I haven't seen anything in the news yet this week if he's going to play for sure or not. I haven't been locked in enough to USC's practice reports. Make sure to check out duckswire.usatoday.com. I'm sure Zach Neal will have some news on that here in the coming days. What a great website. But that will be that'll be a major factor, is if Oregon can make USC one-dimensional. And again, it comes back to that first quarter. Can Oregon get the lead to make USC play from behind and feel like they're kind of chasing the tail of the Ducks just a little bit? Because if they can make USC one-dimensional, put more pressure on Caleb Williams to put the Superman cape on, that's when he does start to make some mistakes, when he's feeling like he's in quicksand, you know, where he's just playing.
As we've seen.
So anything else you want to get to on this matchup with the USC offense with the Duck defense?
I mean, yeah, I agree completely. It's going to come down to a lot of the familiar faces we mention each week. You know, can Birch and Dorless get in there and make his life miserable? Can Evan Williams play well in coverage? Can Tysheem make sure he's not getting himself in trouble out there in the secondary? You know, it's the same guys, and we'll see. And hopefully, you know, hopefully the offense is having such a day that it doesn't come down to superhero performances from those guys.
Well, and I'm curious to see if that Duck defensive line almost does like a mush rush. You know, where you've kind of seen that, where they're trying to get after the quarterback, but they're also trying to contain lanes and not give Caleb Williams any of those escape routes. I think Birch and Doyless definitely are going to be major factors in this game. It seems like Mateo is back healthy and he's going to be out there playing again this week, so that's great to see. But then again, it comes back to guys like Bassa, comes back to guys like Tysheem Johnson, those guys that are playing near the line of scrimmage a lot. And those are going to be the guys that are going to be looking to make those second level tackles on Caleb, because he's going to get free a couple times. He's going to have a couple scrambles.
It's what happens.
Exactly. So does Oregon go to a pure spy with the man to man? Do they go more zone? So they've got all 11 eyes. It's that, that's the fascinating kind of decision. If I were the defensive coordinator, if I were Tosh Lapoy, that's what I'd be going back and forth with this week. So really curious to see what happens. All right, Jesse, it's prediction time, baby. What do you got?
I'm going to go similar to last week. You know, last week I said, give me a 50 burger, and then they blew past that.
It came through.
So I'm going to go in the same general direction. I'm going to get, say, Oregon 52, USC's offense is prolific. But you know what? I have faith. So I'm going to say 52-30.
How about that? Oh my gosh, Jesse, we are in lockstep. My prediction, I typed this out. I said Oregon 52, USC 29.
Oh, look at, oh my God.
So we are right in lockstep. I think you're right. Amazing. I think USC is going to put up points. I think early in the game is going to be a major factor. I could see, you know, being 14-14 coming out of the first quarter or something like that. I mean, obviously I'd love to see 14-3 or 14-7 for the Ducks. But I could see this being a windshield wiper game early and then Oregon pulling away late, in particular with the play of that offensive line. Yes, all right,
absolutely. Let's
jump on over. We are going to just touch on hoops here real quick. Women's hoops with 2-0 with two big early victories, really battling through a ton of injuries. Like I said, we're gonna dig into both these teams a little bit more next week, and we'll give you guys more of a legit preview. But the women's team coming out 2-0, both home games, so that's great to see back at Matthew Knight Arena. The men go down to, I think this game was in Vegas, if I remember correctly, but Oregon comes out with the 82-71 victory over Georgia, a team that went 500 last year. Kind of, you know, it's a good win considering where Oregon was in regards to, you know, injuries. They're playing down a lot of guys. And I mean, a lot of guys that you would know, Shellstad, Cook, all of those guys are hurt right now. But Infali Dante said, you know what, guys, just jump on my back. I'm going to win this game for us, because Infali Dante went for a school record 21 rebounds in this game.
Good God almighty.
Yeah, Mountain Folly.
That's anytime you're getting up over 15, 16 rebounds, even that, the stat jumps off the page. 21 rebounds is absurd.
Absolutely absurd. Brennan Ridsby throws in a good performance there with 16-6-3 also. But like I said, we will dive more into hoops next week. All right, Jesse, a little bit of a shorter podcast for the folks today. Yeah. But that's really all I got. Like I said, we'll do more hoops next week. Really curious to see how this USC game plays out. Getting excited to be there in person. But that's really all I got. You got anything else for the people this week?
Not today. It's we're not playing hurt this time, but man, we are playing under the gun. The clock is ticking.
Adulting
stuff. Yes. So I apologize. I don't have any deeper takes this week, but I'm just excited to see this game. USC is my number one rival and has been for a while.
Okay. All
right. I mean, don't get me wrong. I hate the Huskies just as much as everyone else, but I think there was something about USC getting all the pub all the time, whether they were good, and then they never turned out to be any goddamn good. They were never actually getting any national championships growing up in the 90s. You know, they had marquee guys. They had, you know, Troy Polamalu. They had from my hometown of Roseburg, they had Clay Matthews, they had all those guys, and yet where's the hardware? Why is it always USC? So anyway,
they got USC, a few, but I hear what you're saying. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that Pete Carroll era, they definitely put some shine. It's very Hollywood, very very Hollywood. Yes. You know, I like to refer to USC as the University of Spoiled Children. That was always my experience with it. Growing up, it was always those kids, you know, that would go there. You know, water polo, USC was always a big school too. So they were always a team that I was a little bit of a rival with, no doubt. But we have reached that time in the podcast, Jesse. Last take. What do you got for the people this week?
Oh, man. Let me tell you. sometimes adulting is hard. That's it. That's the whole thing.
That's all I got.
No, sometimes it's just that perfect storm of, you know, you got family, business for one thing or another. You got work, business just encroaching where you don't feel like you've got any downtime. You got pressures from possibly school. We have a sewer situation at my house that we've been dealing with for weeks now. Just, man, sometimes being adult is tough.
It really is, man. I want to go back to the recess days. There are definitely some days where I want to go back to the recess days.
I surely do. So I'm just happy to have a big rivalry game on the docket this weekend, so I can just sit down for a couple hours and be like, hey, I'm going to watch this. Y'all just hold on.
Time to tap out for a little while. Yeah, absolutely. Very similar. I've been working just an absolute ton lately. Have not been, taking a lot of time for myself, you know, doing fun things. So I'm really excited this week doing some fun things, going to the USC game on Saturday. And then my last take, the artist that plays our intro music, Wynn, is playing up in Portland on Thursday. I'm going to a concert, Jesse. I'm going to go be like a young person with the people, and I'm going to a concert. So we'll have to maybe adjust our recording time next week. Hopefully we can get in on Tuesday or Wednesday for this main podcast. But Thursday, headed up to Portland. Really excited to see her live. If you haven't heard of Wynn yet, or, you know, the intro music is all you've really messed with her, definitely check out her catalog. Portland rapper, excellent. On the come up, I think. Really, really on the rise. Really
drop ready. Drop that link in the Spotify description or something.
Oh yeah, I'll have to drop it in the link in the bio, in the podcast bio. We'll get some people there listening to some more Wynn. That's all I got. Go out there and do the adulting. You know, do the adulting. That's important, but also have some fun, ladies and gentlemen. You gotta mix in some fun. So we've been grinding over here. So I am very excited to have a fun week ahead. And with that, take care of your chicken. Take care of your mentals. We appreciate you. We love you. We out.
See you.
Sorry.
Shout a little bit softer now.
Shout a little bit louder now. Shout a little bit louder now. Shout a little bit louder now. Shout.